All right. Shout out Joe in the house. There we go.
Yeah.
That's right.
She does everything around here.
Beautiful smile. Yeah, my buddy Blair just dropped me off a gift.
What is it? Open it.
Okay. It says, to Dusty, love your Chiefs and Royals. Don't let anyone bring you down. I hope this changes your day. Week, month, and year. Listener and friend Blair.
I hope it's a picture of him.
I would love it.
Me too.
He's a very good-looking person. Oh, that's amazing. What a guy.
Is it a picture of himself?
No.
It's show the camera.
It's a signed picture of Jack Antonoff.
Oh, nice.
He is the lead singer of the band Bleachers, one of my favorite bands.
Nice. That's cool.
That's awesome.
I like his signature.
And it's actually a certificate on the side.
Oh, a certificate of authenticity. Look at that.
Yeah, how about that? Shout out Blair. Yeah. I'm going to cry. So there it is on the camera.
That's sweet.
And then it's the certificate of authenticity is on the back from one Jack Antonoff. If you don't know who Jack Antonoff, there is Chiefs ties to this as well. He is the producer of a lot of Taylor Swift's albums. Shout out Blair, man. So now I have a photo of him signed, and he also got me a t-shirt that night of the concert.
Cool.
At the Bleachers a lot. I will post on X later. But let's get into the Richard of the Week.
Richard of the Week.
I thought we had an open for
I
this.
Thought we did too.
I don't know.
That was the open right there. That's how it's going to sound anyway, right?
No,
no, we got one. You're right. We do. You're right. That's my fault.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
All right. Someone who's not a Richard, which is Mr. Blair, thank you very much again for that gift. I appreciate you very dearly. That will be hung up in my room. What a guy. But we get into this week's Richard of the Weeks. Richard of the Week. Bob kind of already teased his, and he's been hot about it for like 24 hours.
Yeah, just under 24, yeah, because this is about 5 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah, so who's your Richard of the Week this week, Bob? You don't know the name, but you know who.
No, I don't know who it was, but, you know, I get tired of the selfish Parker. And really, I just get tired of the selfish person, right? You know, and this is a society that we're living in. And they very good. And you have to understand that there are other people in this world, and you're not the only person driving. And I will say, most people who drive silver minivans are some of the worst drivers on the road, right? I mean, I don't think anybody would argue the minivan driver per capita is the worst driver on the streets today. This one happened to be a Mercedes-Benz that I saw, and I was over at California Trail yesterday for the eighth grade football game. Shout out California Trail with a big win over MT Mission Trail. Tommy with the interception. Bolton, study his game film. Learn how to cover the tight end like Tommy did yesterday. So I walk out because I have to go pick up my other daughter at tennis practice, right? And there are two handicap parking spaces, and in between the two handicap parking spaces are kind of that blank space, no pun intended, with Taylor Swift, where they have the bigger space. So if you're in a handicap van, you can open it up, get your wheelchair out, and it's got the stripes painted on it diagonally, signalizing no parking. And so the normal human being, the nice human, the respectful human, would not A, park in a handicap spot if they're not handicapped, but B, would definitely not back their Mercedes in the spot between the two handicap spots and just park over the striped lines. Well, that person did that. Sir or madam, you are a Richard or a Richard et. Because what you did is an absolute Richard move by backing your car in and basically rendering two handicap spots useless because nobody could open the doors on either side once they pulled into that handicap spot. And if you want to see this picture, it is a glorious photo. I have it on my X account at Bob Fesco when you're there watching the show.
Oh, but then you're the jerk for calling somebody
out. Right. Oh, and of course, I got ripped for that. You're a jerk for pointing that out. No, I'm not. No. You're a jerk for parking there. And
you're
if you think I'm the jerk for
you're
posting that picture, then you're a jerk. And you've probably done stuff like that. Like, have some damn respect, man. Don't park in a handicap spot. Don't park in front of a fire hydrant. Don't park in between the handicap parking spots. This world is not yours. It's everybody's. You're a piece of it. And have respect for others, man. If I had a freaking knife, I would have slashed tires yesterday.
Oh, good hell. Oh, my God.
I knew Bob was going to love this segment when I was like, hey, when we do Fesco and Dusty, is it okay if we bring a couple of after-hour bits? He's like, yeah, as long as it's Richard of the Week.
Well, I mean, but seriously, who point does example? Something like that?
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. You're right, Bob.
Did you cut the If I Had a Knife?
Yeah, I get so much anxiety when I see people do that, Dusty. And I'm not kidding about that. Like, it bothers me so much that people can be that rude, that inconsiderate, and that disrespectful of everybody else out there that they're just going to park their ride wherever they feel like it. Me and my guy Bobby at the J, we text pictures every day of just people that just don't know how to park over the line, straddling the line sideways. But this one yesterday, this was the all-timer. I mean, go look at the picture on X. Mac, I think you were the first person to like it.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, gosh.
Mac, what do you want to do? You want to go first or you want me to go next?
I'll let you go last, Bob. We'll say, or Dusty, we'll save the best for last. I'll go fans threatening Will Levis.
Really?
Or even you can go one step further and throw the coach of the Lions Campbell, into it as
Same
well.
Thing.
What is going on?
Yeah, people finding Dan Campbell's address and he's having to move houses now. People texting Will Levis, he's having to change phones. They're threatening him. I mean, get it. We're three passionate sports dudes. We get it. We love our teams. We love these players. And sometimes we can get mad. But that is just ridiculous. Do better. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. You don't call athletes and Dan Campbell having to move because people would show up after a loss to his house.
That's why Ben Maurer is saying make a moat with alligators.
Oh, man. You got to be some sort of sicko.
Somebody says, hey, Bob, they make little business cards that you can stick on or on the way that you suck at parking on the back. They have about 20 options you can check of bad parking instances. You'd need a stack of them.
Oh, I'd run out of those on the first day.
Somebody says you should have called the cops. Not my job.
I'm not going to tie up the police officers for something like that, though. You know, like their time is much more valuable.
Yeah, it's not like you put a picture of their license plate up
there.
Well,
they didn't have a front license plate. People are like, expose the license plate.
No, you always have to mark that out.
Why do you, though? I mean, we're driving around in public.
That's just privacy.
But you're driving around in public.
I think it's also illegal.
Is it?
It's called doxing, I believe.
Really? So you're allowed to drive around in public with a license plate on it, but you can't post it on social media?
Well, you're not supposed to.
Okay.
It's the same thing with having that number in front of your house. Don't post someone else's number in front of their house. You know,
Mine goes to the Chinese zoo. So I'll be a little more lighthearted here, even though
this is great.
These people suck. All right. So the story was on TMZ. My Richard of the Week is this Chinese zoo. Chinese zoo goers are barking mad after learning the alleged pandas they visited the zoo were just dogs painted to look like at-risk bears. The deception was uncovered by visitors after one of the so-called pandas began barking and panting like a dog, according to local media reports. Video footage shows of the painted-up pups then began to make their rounds online, which shows two pandas roaming about the enclosure where the curly tails are clearly visible. At first, the zoo tried to dance around the allegations, claiming the obvious dogs were actually a breed of panda dogs. As zoo-goers and others online refused to accept this claim, the zoo eventually confessed to the truth that they had just dyed two Chow Chows, a fluffy dog breed popular in China. Unsurprisingly, duped visitors responded to the revolution demanding their money back, and we don't blame them for what it's worth. This isn't the first time a zoo in China has tried to deceive visitors by swapping out pandas for made-up chow chows. Back in May, the zoo admitted to pulling off a similar scheme, though they didn't defend themselves, saying the disguise were just next best alternative they could offer up. You folks are Richards of the Week for me.
Yeah.
One, I already don't like zoos. I don't want to get into a high horse of that. But two, those dogs could have like a chemical outbreak to the paint.
Well, you don't paint an animal.
And then lie about it.
Well, that was the lying like, was, you see it's a panda dog. No, it's not.
And if you see the picture of it, you're like, that's a dog.
It's a dog.
Like, that is definitely not a panda. But they had got out of the way to, like, dye their eyes black, put little black spots and their ears and their legs, yet there's a clear and obvious dog tail of a chow chow. Rich of the Week, Chinese.
Yeah.
Rich of the Week, people who don't know how to park. Rich of the Week, the fans going after Will Levis. That's just not fair.
I forgot almost that we're on camera because I just made a face reading a text. It was just a joke from the zoo. They weren't really trying to pass them off as anything, LO. No, they were. They were trying to tell people.
I just read the article that it was a lot. They feel bad they lied.
Right. Ooh. You painted dogs. You're like, yeah, they're panda dogs. No, they're actually dogs. They're barking.
Yeah.
Gross.
Come on, man. Come on. All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back into the round table, which is here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in on Fesco and Dusty. It is the round table. Special guest Mark Collins here with us, former Chiefs defensive back. 90s Chiefs, the glory days of the defense, as some would say. The Marty years, the tough at many degrees, but good times now. Mark, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
This morning, I should say. Yeah. Sorry, I'm ahead of myself.
It's all right. We're getting closer to the afternoon. For us, it's almost afternoon.
I have a question. If you had constantly gotten beat by a quarterback, would you use them as your screensaver on your cell phone?
No. Why would I do that?
That's what they're doing in Cincinnati.
I wasn't going to let it fly. Why would I do some bleep like that?
Oh, yeah. Man, let it fly. I don't give a rip. No,
who did that?
This Cincinnati's corner.
Yeah, this is what he said after the practice yesterday. Okay.
I honestly can't wait to see them. I got him as my one of my pitch lock streams right now, so I could see it every day. Both of them, yeah, because I can't wait to see them again. Yeah, like usually I do that like whenever we had a big bowl like last year against Ole Miss, they had Penn State teammates like talking on internet. So I screenshotted that post and put it on my lock screen so you don't forget it. Remember what you're doing it for.
So there it is. Rookie defensive back just beat by the Chiefs has Mahomes and Kelce on his lock screen.
Well,
I got Sydney Sweeney.
Is he a starter?
Probably.
Yeah. Who is it? Mac again? What's the guy's name?
It's like Dejon.
Dejon Anthony. He's a rookie safety.
All right. I get where he's coming from. But until you've done something in this league, you don't do that.
You don't do that kind of stuff.
No, you don't. You gotta prove that you belong first. I mean, he made it to the league, which is great. But until you start making plays and do it on a consistent basis, then you can start doing that. Like, you know, Lamar Chase does that. He has credibility to do it.
Right.
This dude hasn't done anything yet. So I get his motivation. I respect it. Just slow down, big fella. Slow down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to take it a little easy. So we're 2 weeks in. What are your kind of initial thoughts on this first 2 weeks?
I'm gonna tell you, Bob. It's good. As long as you get the win.
Yep.
I don't care about the rest of the stuff. I don't care how pretty it looks. I'd rather have an ugly win than a pretty loss. And even though the stats are, you know, got the Chiefs down, you know, middle to end of the NFL and offensive statistically, you got the win. And I'll tell you, the way they're winning, this bodes well for, you know, the rest of the season. It's just like last year. Won ugly, lost a couple of ugly games, but they were battle-tested, and that it helped them do the playoff run.
It does. I mean, and that's kind of the way I look at the regular season now for this team is a dress rehearsal for the postseason, right? Like, figure out what's going to work, what you're going to do, what you're going to carry into January, work out kind of, you know, the kinks and all that kind of stuff and go for it. And they will have some sort of ugly loss like they do every year, and everybody will panic, but it's going to be okay because this is kind of the MO that we've kind of gotten used to now here in KC.
And you know, if you think about it, the way as a player, I watch games differently than the average fan, right?
Right.
And you guys may watch different fans the game different than the normal fan. I see this season we break it up in quarters. You know the Chiefs say they go 4-1. That's a great quarter. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. But going a little deeper, they got 2 AFC wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You know, it's better than 2 NFC wins, even though you're still 2-0. But you get that AFC win. You got 2 in your pocket. That comes down to when the playoffs happen, they start doing rankings and seedings based on how many wins you have in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes, you know, common opponent, then NFC. So you got 2 in your pocket. Kansas City is looking pretty damn good right now with those 2 AFC wins.
No doubt.
I brought this up, I think it was last week. Trent McDuffie obviously was 0 interceptions in his career. I don't look at that as like a flag or anything like that, or like a red flag. And I kind of compared him to like Charles Woodson because they both kind of hit hard. They could kind of like play that position. I know Woodson had a lot of picks, but he got more of them towards the older he got in his career. Do you see similarities there, or am I off my hinges here?
No, you're off a bit.
Okay.
And not by much.
Thank you.
Sometimes the mark of a true cornerback, and I'm telling you because I'm an expert at it. It's not how many interceptions you have.
Mm.
It's how many times you shut down that top receiver.
Yeah.
Because if you could shrink the field width-wise, you could make it three quarters of the actual width of the field,
mm-hmm.
and that you're taking that side that third away, a mm-hmm. quarter away, a third away. That's awesome. Now that quarterback is dropping back. His main target is taken out. And I've done this many times against Jerry Rice.
Mm.
You know, you take Jerry out of the game and shrink the field and make the 49ers a pretty much a two-dimensional team without the big play, you get a good chance to win it. And that's what Kansas City, that's what McDuffie's doing right now.
Mm.
He's really shutting the guys down, not giving up a lot of big plays, hardly very few. Very few times he's targeted. And he can play the slot as well. So he's pretty damn good. So don't hang your hat on interceptions because that's really a false sense of stuff.
Right.
Statistics.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, but that's what a lot of people do. I mean, like, we use stats in so many different ways now that drive me nuts. Like, well, McDuffie doesn't have any interceptions, so he can't be any good. I'm like, wait a second here. Ja'Marr Chase had like one catch against him. He's shutting down that side of the field. That tells me they're just not throwing it.
That's
his
right.
way.
And once you start doing stuff like that, it gives the pass rushers a chance to get a sack, and you're doing your job. Listen, I've been there. Darrell Revis been there, Charles Woodson, Deion Sanders. Once you start doing stuff like that, shutting it down, you know, and I think this way as well. If you got a lot of interceptions, that means they're throwing at you. So
yeah, right.
So it's a two-way.
True.
Yeah, you'd rather have it the other way where they're just not throwing to you. One of the things that the Chiefs have struggled with a little bit this year, I guess, is shutting down the tight end. You know, what do you have to do against somebody like that?
You know, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I just it's tough because most of these tight ends are bigger than safeties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're you know, 6'3", 6'4", 250. And there are matchup problems. I mean, mm-hmm. even if you got a safety who's 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet, he's weighing mostly 205. And the tight ends are mostly more stronger and bigger than the safeties. You can't put a linebacker on them
mm-hmm.
because the linebackers are now, in today's NFL, they're shorter and faster. Maybe 5'11". Maybe 6 feet, 215, 225, but not fast enough. So pretty much you're going to try to have to scheme them a lot. Try to drop a defensive tackle underneath or undercut them with a linebacker in coverage. But it's pretty much damn impossible. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It really is. That's why you see the Kittle in San Francisco. Of course, you know, Kelsey's going to get his. These guys are pretty much almost unstoppable for matchups.
There really is nobody you can match up with a tight end right now. It wasn't like, you know, back in your day, there was a Bavaro or maybe a guy here or there, Tony Gonzalez at the kind of the tail end or whatever.
Ozzie
like
Newsome.
They were few and far between. Now it seems like every team has a tight end that presents matchup problems to everybody.
Well, that's the new league. That's what they won. That's what they got. You know, these guys are, even the receivers. I'm going to give you a quick story. I'm in New York. And doing our Giants stuff. And I'm walking into our legacy club. And I see Plaxico Burress. This man is like 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
He's a receiver. So we're talking, and Kerry Collins was there. And he goes, "Oh, we play against you, man." I say, K, throw it deep, throw it high. Yeah, I say, okay, yeah. But I'm going to beat you up off the line. If you get off the line of scrimmage, then, you know. But that's how the league is. They have big receivers, big tight ends, matchup problems. It's a passing league.
What's your opinion on Mel Kiper?
I got a story about Mel Kiper, but I'm not going to tell that story. Well,
why not?
Let me play you. You might play it. You might tell us that story if you hear this audio.
Hit the receiver in stride, 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts.
Who?
You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. I'm not afraid. They come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
The floor is yours.
I think Mel Kiper does not know what he's talking about. and that's been well documented. Was it Jim Irsay who cursed him out on a...
It was somebody from the Colts. I've got that somewhere.
It was their old GM. He's like, who is this Kiper idiot?
he means well, God bless him, but...
Yeah.
No, that's the dumbest thing because... you go back in the history of the National Football League...
Mm-hmm.
If I think I'm correct when I say this, you go back from like 1960s, 70s, and early part of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. There weren't very many 1,000-yard receivers.
No, God, no.
I think that was one. I think Lynn Swann did it 1 year doing their drive in the late 70s doing Super Bowls. And the reason that was because the bump and run was all over the place. So they changed the rules to allow DBs to get 5 yards. You going to take your shot? Yeah, I get it, take your shot. But the league has changed. It's a whole different level. Mel Kiper means well, but when he's talking, bringing up Johnny Unitas and all this stuff, he's full of crap because they didn't throw the ball deep. It was 3 yards in a cloud of dust back then, like old Big Ten football.
Right, exactly.
That's what it was. So, you know, he means well, but he don't know what the hell he's talking about.
So what's your Mel Kiper story?
Well, when I came out of Cal State Fullerton, we're Division I. We're pretty good at Fullerton. So the draft stuff comes out, and he puts this paper together. Oh, Mark Collins played well in the PCAA, the Pacific Athletic Association.
Mm.
But he'll find out playing with the big boys, and when he goes to the senior ball, playing against these guys, against the Big Ten, and he gets drafted. This is not the West Coast. He'll get beat like a drum, that kind of stuff. And I was going, who in the hell is this guy? So I go to New York, and the rest of the history, I don't want to say too much about that, but I've never seen him, never met him.
Does he really exist?
Evidently, he's on TV, so what then, too? You can't believe everything you see.
That's
on TV.
Right. Yeah. Never seen him, never talked to him.
But this dude has been making a living.
Oh, yeah.
Talking crap about players and giving his thoughts and comments. And people are buying his BS.
That's right.
Which goes to tell you, people will buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you can convince them, they'll buy anything. And I'll leave it there. But anyway, okay. I'm not a big Mel Kiper fan. And you know.
But I think people would buy what you're saying. And how would you stop Kirk Cousins Sunday night?
How would I stop him?
Yeah. Would you blitz him or would you just blanket receivers?
No, I'll play the confines of the defense. What I would do, I'll play a lot of zone against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make him beat me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can mix in a couple of man-to-man coverages. You can mix that up. But that's what I would do. I'll make that team beat me. Methodically drive the ball down the field. I don't think the Chiefs and Steve Speck and all the defensively have to do anything tricky to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, and I don't know what you think, Kirk Cousins is just a guy.
Yeah.
No one's losing sleep. Oh, we're playing Kirk Cousins. Oh, I can't sleep at night. No, dude. Dude, you got to come beat us.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I would do. Now, on the flip side.
Yeah.
We got time.
Oh, yeah, you got time.
What I would do at Kansas City without the Chiefs offense, the first play of the game, I'm throwing the ball deep.
Mm.
If we don't complete it, the second play, I'm throwing the ball deep.
Mm.
The third, same thing. And I'm going to tell you why I do that. You got to take the top off the back end of the defense. Because now you got two running backs to open the running game. You got two new running backs back there.
Mm-hmm.
I know Kareem's back. And what's the Steele?
Carson Steele.
You got to give those guys a chance to run the ball. So what I'm saying is establish the pass. Because as a defensive guy, when you know a team's coming at you deep all the time, it keeps you, you know, on your toes. Hey, mate, wait a minute. I got to play honest. But you're going to try to run the ball systematically, methodically down the field with the Chiefs. I hope they don't do. Everybody start creeping up. And then you try to take your shot. It's too late.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to catch the Falcons off guard by throwing the ball deep as much as possible. because you put that fear. Fear is a strong word. You put that awareness mm-hmm. in the secondary that they're taking shots.
No doubt.
No matter who it is.
Are you concerned about Travis Kelce? I know a lot of the national media seemingly is like, oh, my God, he hasn't had any receptions and he isn't doing anything in the first 2 weeks. I think Travis Kelce has himself a huge game this week.
Oh, we don't need him. They don't need him. There's no need for Travis right now. You know, the Chiefs are still figuring out, they're finding out pretty damn well who their receivers are.
Right.
And these guys are stepping up. So if you don't need your main weapon right now, why use them?
Right. I'm kind of with you. Like, save them for the playoffs, almost like a load management type of thing.
He's going to be fine.
You don't even need him without an Isaiah Pacheco?
Once again, I would throw the ball deep. you gotta, I mean, it all plays in. But if you need him, you know Travis would be there.
I would like to know your opinion on what you would like about Spagnuolo and his defense. Like, would you love to play for a guy like that?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I play for Belichick. I play for Fritz Schirmer. Uh-huh. Some great defensive coordinators. Because Spags, he puts the onus on the players to play.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't micromanage. He doesn't put you in position that you can't do. He allows you to have some input in coverages like a Belichick, like a Fritz Schirmer. And I love that. Then you talk to those, and I talk to some of the guys on defense, they love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like about him.
You played for Belichick, obviously, with LT. What was that like? Did he just let LT do his own thing, or did he try to, like, create plays and scenarios for him?
No. Lawrence, listen, Lawrence was Lawrence. And you can coach Lawrence. But Lawrence played, for the most part, within the confines of the defense because his job was basically just to rush. You don't change a guy's strength.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, he'll drive back every now and then, get a pick or something like that. But, man, he was a beast. And Belichick, we had some great defenses in New York. And Bill just listened to our input on what we wanted to do. And he was great at winning with us and us with him.
Same with DT here, kind of doing the same type of thing with him. Just let him do his thing.
Yeah, you let guys like that go. You let them be them.
Right.
And they make a lot of players around them better. And they're enhanced. Playing with Lawrence and Derek made my job at left corner pretty damn easy.
Oh, yeah.
At left corner is the offensive strong side, their right side. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those players are pretty special.
Yeah.
When you were in the league, like kind of in your prime, and you know, you're getting to know your matchup, you're going up against a wide receiver, like you're like, I want that guy. Like, I want to shut that guy down like a Jerry Rice. But, like, is there a receiver in today's game where the game is elevated in wide receiver play, which I think is why we're seeing more cornerback play be looked at better because mm-hmm. the talent of receivers better. You got to find somebody that can stop that. Is there a receiver that you'd want to go up against in today's NFL?
No, I've never been that type of guy. I want that guy. I just shut my mouth to go play. Whoever my assignment was that week, that's who I got.
Who was the toughest you went against?
All of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Because okay. Once you make it to that league, they're all good. And you can't really overlook anybody because that player could get you, could beat you,
mm-hmm.
you know, that player that day. So, no, I mean, I played against Art Monk, Jerry Rice, Chris Carter, Michael Irvin, Irvin Fryer, a lot of great guys. And those guys are most of those guys are in the Hall of Fame.
Who talked the most bull junk?
None of them.
Really?
No.
So they didn't do it like they did today.
No, they did, but they didn't against me.
Okay.
And that you could take that any way you want.
Well, I'm looking at you. I wouldn't say a bad word to you my entire life. Your hands are huge and veins are out of your biceps.
And I never talked to them. I was so focused on concentrating on my job, trying to get them out of their game physically. And I think they were the same. Now, I talked to those guys afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and we talked, but never BS each other. We just talk. I think back in those days, not all players, we all respected each other.
Because
I would never call anybody, oh, you garbage. No, man, dude, you belong here. You're here. So.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of fans forget about. I think there's still a group of fans in this town who are taking what this team is doing for granted. And they expect it every week that they're going to go out there and just shut down the opponent, score 50 points and make it look easy. It's not easy in this league. Like a 1-point win is a win and you just take that win and you move on because it's so hard to win in this league. And I still think some fans just aren't appreciating what the Chiefs are. They're looking for this perfection and that's just never going to be the thing.
No, that doesn't happen. There is nothing. And one thing, this just in, the other team gets paid too.
Right. Yeah. You know,
they,
yeah.
They get a check as well. So it's tough. And there's sometimes you're going to have a good game and a bad game. But what I try to do, what I've seen in teams when I was in New York, even Kansas City, we try to keep the lows not too low and the highs not too high. Mm-hmm. You just want to just ride it. Just ride it right down the middle. And then when playoffs come, you elevate it. You elevate and play well. Because I've seen some teams, when they hit rock bottom, 0-2 start. Watch Cincinnati and watch Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start watching how they react. That's what you watch for. Teams that are 0-2, 0-3. The teams that are 2-0, they're going to be methodical in what they do in their approach. And you watch the Chiefs, how they win. It's ugly, but it's a win. And watch how they just ride the wave. And then see how they elevate during the season.
You know, this weekend when the Chiefs win, Andy Reid will have 130th win as a Chiefs head coach in 11 years, roughly. He had that many wins in his entire career in Philadelphia. You played for Belichick. You've gotten to see Andy Reid and know Andy Reid here. Who's the better coach?
I was when Andy was with the Packers, I was on the Packers. He was a quarterback coach, I do believe. And I never played for Andy. And as far as statistics, that's for you guys to decide. Play for Belichick. And I work with him, and I've seen him do stuff and create and make adjustments at halftime that I've never seen before. I don't know. My guy's Belichick.
Yeah.
Because I played for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not saying Andy's no worse.
Right.
He's up there.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this. You want to give a score prediction for Sunday night?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do all that. I'm not that kind of prognosticator. I know the Chiefs would do enough to win. How's that?
I like that. Mark Collins here on the roundtable, which is brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. We get back. We get into tailgate talk. Mark, thanks for your time here in the studio today. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, it's final segment here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan on a Friday. Bob said something in between
Good
the breaks.
Lord.
Said, I didn't know the show was over.
So, hey, baby, it goes so fast now, man.
And I told him,
football season just flies by,
and
right?
Then I told you I went in the studio to talk to Mac for a second when Mark got here, and he's like, dude, Fridays are wild. It's already over.
It's over?
Like, yeah, dude.
I tried to tell you guys that back at Waffle Hut when we were sitting over there. Let's make Fridays fly by. We did it.
I love it.
It's great. Fridays are awesome, man. I hope everybody has a great weekend, too. A lot going on in Kansas City. We got the current game we're going to tonight, the Royals tomorrow. Three important baseball games for the Royals that are taking place here at Kauffman Stadium against the Giants, who split a four-game series with Baltimore. Baltimore ended up winning yesterday, but, I mean, the Giants haven't packed it in, and they got Blake Snell going on Sunday. So you got to get one of these two games, right? I would imagine, right?
There's a turd on the mound tonight for the night for the Niners.
Who?
The Niners. Yeah. Football mode. The guy's like 0-7 with like or 0-4, someone with like a 7 ERA. He hasn't won. His ERA is he's 0-4.
Oh.
Mason Black.
I don't know who that
0-4,
is.
0-4, 20 innings pitched, so small sample size, but he's got a 7.07 ERA. He's got a whip of 1.64. That ain't good.
I hate when we have to face guys like that, though,
but
that we don't
Michael
know anything
Walk
about.
On the mound, Walk who knows is, how to win games late in the season. Yeah. So if there's anybody that can snap you out of a losing skid late in the season, I would think that you could trust in Michael Walker to get the job done. And again, tonight, Vern's On Deck show starts at 6 o'clock.
Mason Peter Black went to Lehigh University. That is a baseball name right there. Mason Peter Black.
That's right. His game logs of his 0-4.
Boy. Innings, 4 2/3, and 5 are the last three. So you can get to this guy pretty early, knock him out the game, right?
He's going to have a home run in every single game. So if you want a prop bet tonight, go have Salvador Perez. Me and my buddy Robert, we call it Salvador Fridays because he seems to hit a home run every Friday.
Okay.
So prop bet Salvador
Whether
Perez.
Whether that's true or not, I like it.
It's like plus he hit one last Friday.
Yeah.
He hit one the Friday before.
Okay.
It's Friday. You got a fear of Fridays? Yeah. Revved up, thirsty, and ready to drown.
Let's go.
Go ahead and put that bet. I think it's like plus 380 on DraftKings.
All right. Salvador Perez Friday against Mason Black.
So every at bat he takes tonight, I'll record, and when he hits a home run, I'll post it.
Yeah, all right. I don't know who Mason Black is. I hope he comes in here, and I still don't know who he is at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's given up 37 hits. 7 of them have been home runs. Yeah.
So,
wow.
And it's not like
if he's pitching those games in the Giants ballpark, it's not like that's an easy park to hit a home run. By the way, did you see that we finally got a right-handed hitter?
Right-hitter got hit one into McCovey Cove. Yeah. Did you say this and I missed it? The league is hitting 314 off of this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not good.
Let's go.
7.07 ERA, and he's got a 1.64 whip.
Let's go, man. Let's go punish this guy.
Let's do a little tailgate talk. 913-586-7965. A different type of game. It's a Sunday night football game, so I'm kind of interested to see like what your tailgate spread is this week. Obviously, no game at Arrowhead, but at your house. You got all day to kind of plan. It's still a little too warm for like to put the chili on the stove and let it roast, you know, or do the roast as well. So this game really, to me, screams on the grill or on the Blackstone type of meal. Do some dogs, do some brats, do some, you know, burgers, something over, you don't have to overthink. So like when it's 6:30 and food comes off, you can eat, get it cleaned up, put it away. Game starts at 7:15, 7:20. You're good to go. That's my tailgate this week. Burgers. I'll go to Hy-Vee and get those pineapple brats. Fantastic.
Those are really good. Fantastic. I do like those. Hy-Vee this week actually has pork chops for 88 cents a piece, Dusty.
You don't say.
And so I went and got 8 pork chops the other day.
Porking the wife.
Yes, I am. I'm going to pork the wife this weekend. So I'll probably do some pork chops on the Blackstone. I maybe throw some chicken on there as well. And you know what? It's one of those deals where my friend Rob Maloney yesterday used the Munster cheese and made that cheese blank on his burger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe burgers sound good on Saturday. But you're right. It's like a Sunday night game. Like you're probably eating before the game and then just kind of sit down and enjoy it.
A lot of rain
projected
Sunday, but we don't know if they're accurate or not. But it does look like my buddy whose birthday party for his kid this Sunday we're supposed to go to, he's already canceled it. They moved it inside. It was supposed to be like a park.
Okay.
They've already moved it inside because they think it's accurate. So
how much rain are we supposed to get this weekend?
Over under 1.5 inches. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. It's supposed to rain tomorrow off and on, and then Sunday it just looks like thunderstorms and rain all day.
Okay, that sucks.
But it actually might be cool enough for chili on Sunday, Bob.
Maybe. Yeah, because the weather is supposed to break this
Monday
weekend.
High is like 62.
Yeah, the high temp for Sunday is 62 with a cold rain. We'll be in the 50s by game times. What do you mean we can't have chili?
Right. Let's do it.
I'm looking at today. I'm going, it's 90 out there. I have no interest in having that today.
It's always interesting when people have chili or like, you know, when Hy-Vee does like a sell that's like trying to get people to get chili, you go to the aisle and it just looks like it's the end of the world with like the chili beans and all that. It's always, everybody's got the same idea.
It's that time of season, right? And it's mum time too. Hy-Vee's got all the mums out there that they're selling. So everybody wants to get their mums and make their chili. Like we want the cold weather to get here. And I was thinking about this yesterday when it was blistering hot. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't take this anymore. In about, I don't know, 6 months when it's March and it's like getting close to like 50 and we're all going to be going, I can't take the cold anymore. Can it just break and let me get spring? And now we're all like, can we just have some coolness because this has been too hot for too long. So hopefully it does break this weekend and we get a little relief, but I don't know how much rain we're going to get, man. I don't want a lot of rain this weekend. I want to kind of sit outside and enjoy the nice weather, right? I'm going to go pick up my friend Paul's wood today and bring it over to my house and hopefully get the fire pit going. I'm excited about that.
Why? Okay. From the 816, we're doing tacos. Solid.
Perfect.
Nice.
But it's not Tuesday. Is that allowed?
Yes, of course. Because then Monday you have taco leftovers where you can do like either you make your own burrito, do taco salad, which the key to taco salads nowadays, you get the nacho cheese Doritos and use that as your base.
Oh, all right. Okay.
What's your tailgate spread over there, Mac?
Gosh, whatever mom makes or whatever you get from Applebee's.
She's
going
to be gone for the game. So
where's she going?
She watches with her. She's got her whole group.
That's cool.
Really?
Oh, every weekend. She's got her group. Yeah, every game.
Comes back and she's like, it smells like a skunk's been in here.
Why is this place? And then she comes back. You smell like Jean Maté and cigarettes. Does she have any widowed friends that would be interested in a portly radio man?
Oh, yeah. I think we could hook that up.
Very good.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I might actually, for real though, I haven't gotten to try those Smokehouse barbecue wings. That is on my radar.
Yeah. So we get the cage and chicken wings. Go up to the Zona, ask for Joe, tell him who you are, and he'll take care of you.
Somebody from the 816 says, in honor of Atlanta, we're eating waxed ass. So there's that. Oh boy, is he ready to go behind you or what? Look at how ready Alex Gold is.
Mr. Excitement there.
Oh
right?
Boy, he's
I told
ready.
You I ran into one of his former teachers or one of my kids' former teachers, Mr. White, the other day, and a great teacher. I wish everybody had a teacher
Mr.
like him.
Mr. White.
And exactly. And he says, "Tell Alex, Mr. Excitement, I said hello."
Oh, boy.
While you can do things every day or every week or once a week, like my buddy Blair did today, he did a nice thing for me, which means you can go do nice things for everybody out there. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Mr. Excitement, Alex Gold, and Mr. Sing-Along, Cody Tapp, coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.